You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 7, Episode 34. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And we're going to be joined on this week's show by a man who joined the 400 club recently in the League of Ireland. That's Treaty United defender Mark Ludden. 402nd appearance coming against Longford Town the other night in that massive win for Treaty. Just about keeps their playoff hopes alive. So we'll chat to Mark about that. He talks a little bit about his future. Will he still be playing in the league next season? He gives us some info on that. And of course, he is a proud Galway man. So we have a discussion on the upcoming Cup semi-finals this weekend as well. So a really good chat with Mark. Of course, we had him on a few seasons ago, Gary, and I know you really enjoyed the interview with him that time. So I think it'll be another good chat this evening with Mark.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was good to hear from him. Great experience in the league. So always good to have someone like that on.
Of course, I should introduce everyone to the show this week by saying we are now one of the most influential League of Ireland podcasts on the circuit because we're now affecting what goes out on official League of Ireland club accounts. So it is great to see that everyone is listening and taking notes to exactly what we're saying.
Oh, yeah, always good to see. Good to see. Good crack.
Yeah, we love the rustling. Look, let's start with the Premier Division results from the weekend. And speaking of rustling, Shamrock Rovers 1, Shells 0. I loved the bit of back and forth between Duff and Bradley. We've talked about that a bit on the pod this season. Don't see enough of that between managers. It's a good bit of needle between these two, which is good to see. And we will talk about Stephen Bradley's post-match comments in a minute as well. But on the game itself, looked like it was going to be the curse of the TV cameras again, a scoreless draw. But Graham Burke pulled it out with the fire. Conor Kearns be disappointed with that goal, will he?
Yeah, I think so. What do you think?
I think he'd be disappointed with it. It's come from a long way out. And Burke, like, he slips kind of as he hits it, doesn't he? Like, it just trickles into the net. It's like it's caught Kearns unawares, caught him off guard, maybe took it early, the shot or whatever. But I think he will be disappointed with that. And look, I think when Conor signed for Shelburne, we raised a lot of reservations about his form last season. You remember those mistakes he made in the playoff for Galway last season against Waterford? I think he was culpable for at least three of the goals in the semi-final. But he has been absolutely brilliant this season for Shells. We've spoken about it on the pod. We've said, look, we can only review him on his performances this season. He's been one of the top performing goalkeepers. He was rewarded with a new contract. His manager, Damien Duff, has sung his praises. But in the last couple of weeks, his form has just dipped off. And I do think he will be disappointed with the concession of that goal.
Yeah, and I think, like, when you look back at it, like, is it that he's slightly caught out, but, like, is it that he can't see it? Or it seems like it's such a slow reaction to get across. You'd nearly say that he was unsighted.
I just thought he was very slow to get across the line and react to it. So I definitely think he'd be disappointed.
Yeah, 100%. Of course he was. He conceded a goal and lost the game from it. So he'll certainly be disappointed. But I think with himself, when you look at it, he doesn't move his feet as well as is needed, and it isn't traveling that quickly by him.
No.
But he gets up instantly. And kind of starts complaining to someone in front of him. And probably Paddy Barrett could have done a bit more to block it. But look, I think that's just the way it goes. And Shamrock Rovers do what they need to do and get the goal in the derby. So
and then, of course, he was sent off just a few minutes later.
And stupidly, leaving the boot in on a yellow card like that. It was idiotic. But he has form for that as well, though.
I suppose Rovers in general this season, their disciplinary record has been absolutely woeful. It didn't come back to bite them here. I think Bradley, some of what he said after the game was probably quite spot on. I think Shells in the first half played very, very well. But then in the second half, they didn't really lay much of a glove on Rovers. And even when they went down to 10, there was no real sustained spell of pressure there where you thought, yeah, Rovers look like they're on the ropes here. They look comfortable enough with the 10 men.
Yeah, they did, certainly. And I think, look, the biggest chance or the biggest shout for anything around the Rovers goal was the handball call at near the end. I think it was an injury time and that was never handball really. For that to be like their big opportunity, I think Alan Manis wasn't troubled half enough throughout the game, and you know, that cost them. But I think their defensive setup is Shelburne's forte at the minute. So if that doesn't work out, or they do concede a goal, it's often hard to get back, particularly against teams like Shamrock Rovers. So you know, that's par for it. I know they've only, I think that was what, their sixth loss of the game this season, so it's not exactly world ending either. Particularly at this stage of the season.
As we all know now, Shells is going to have billions to spend next season, so I'm sure they'll go out and get a big centre forward and they'll be flying next year. But as I said, it was good to see the bit of back and forth between the two managers. But I suppose it was Stephen Bradley's comments that really caught everyone's attention. What did you make of that post-match interview? And I suppose there has been a lot of rumours circulating that maybe everything isn't all well and rosy in the garden behind the scenes at Shamrock Rovers, and that was maybe a little bit of an insight into it from Bradley.
I think so. Often, you know, people often say that, oh, it's an indication of, you know, when a manager kind of dishes out a few facts, then is it kind of like a, not a cry for help, but like, you know, this is what's going on and this is why people mightn't be happy or mightn't be too excited to see what's going on in the off season. Like, there's a lot of talk about Jack Byrne not getting offered a contract. I think he said during the week that he hasn't been contacted at all. So, you know, it's stuff like that would make a Shamrock Rovers fan quite concerned to see that, like, stuff like players like that aren't being nailed down, because there's been, you know, we've talked an awful lot of times this season about where that the squad needs a bit of an overhaul and that players that have been brought in haven't really done enough. We'll say Marcus Poom, I think, has probably been one of the better signings, but we'll say, what's the other boy that they brought in? Jimmy Mack, my mind is gone. Doesn't matter. But like, we'll say, in any case, you want the boy from Bert. Excuse me. You know, we probably haven't seen enough of him throughout the season. And when you see that type of stuff going on, particularly when they're not flowing as well as they have over the last few years, you kind of want your top players to stay there.
It's hard to know what to make of it all, really, because I suppose Shamrock Rovers, you have to remember, they've invested a lot as well into the academy. They've invested a lot into the newly launched women's team as well. And obviously they've been invested heavily in that first team for a number of years, and despite the fact that, you know, they're on course for four league titles in a row, and I know they were in the group stages of Europe last year, but it probably just goes to show again, unless you're really reaching a high level of Europe season in, season out, the setup of this league in terms of prize money, the lack of other revenue from TV and all the rest, it's very, very difficult to maintain the level Rovers have been at for, you know, 5-6 years in a row. And maybe this is just going to be the end of an era, at the end of a cycle, like we've seen with Dundalk.
Probably is. And, you know, I think, though, with Shamrock Rovers, there's an expectation that they're always going to be at the top table.
Like Dundalk would have had that expectation too when they were up there, you know what I mean? It doesn't entitle you anything. I mean, it's not that long ago where Rovers were struggling to compete with the Corks and the Dundalks of this league, and then they've had their spell of dominance, but trying to continue that now, it sounds like it's going to be tough, because financially it appears to have taken a toll. But that's going back to Stephen Bradley's comments. He's the head coach, he's the manager. Of course he's going to fight for a bigger budget. That's you know, that's not rocket science. That's going to give him a better chance to success. But I suppose Rovers fans, probably they'll obviously want the big budget next season and be able to go out and attract the best players and back the manager and all the rest. But at the same time, you don't want that to be to the detriment of the club either.
Oh, absolutely. But at the end of the day, as you said, the manager always has to look for more money, because it'll be his job that'll be in the firing line. So no matter what way you cut it, oh yeah, the club has been really prudent, and absolutely, that's great, but we won four in a row and now we're not near winning anything. Bradley has to go. So like, as you said, you were right what you said there first, he has to look for a bigger budget to get players in to affect the team properly. and positive.
As I said, it's easy to understand kind of the conflict there. Manager wants more money. Board are looking at it. We need to pull the purse strings back a little bit here.
Yeah.
I think the line out of the whole thing that really raised everyone's eyebrows was the line about when people are trying to stop you winning. That would suggest that it runs a little bit deeper. Like, that seemed quite a spicy comment to make.
Absolutely, but it is a spicy comment, and it's probably a bit more nuclear than he probably wanted it to come across, but that's part of it. You probably fired a shot across the bow, and that, you know, you end up saying something silly like that. So I think probably some discussions going on around Roadstone or wherever Shamrock Rovers are based, and say, yeah, well, what are we actually doing? But it's probably maybe that, you know, in the last month or so that talks have started for next year and what way things are going to shake out. And then it's actually maybe Bradley had an idea that something would be done by now and it just hasn't happened. So he's obviously trying to move things along, because at the end of the day, there's only four games left. So we need an answer soon.
Yeah.
But I think no matter what way you cut it, it's like, I think I said it before, but Barber says we all should get haircuts.
Yeah, it's
exactly the same. Managers always look for more money. That's life.
So, yeah, I think though it's gonna make for an interesting offseason at Shamrock Rovers. I think we'll get lots of headlines. But on the pitch, this was a very important win as they look to secure that historic 4 in a row. Moving on, Cork City 0, Pats 1. Another weekend dominated by refereeing decisions. The decision here to send off the Cork lad. A brutal decision, and O'Donovan, yeah, brutal decision, and probably did cost Cork in the end. It's difficult to know whether Pats would have got the goal or not, but I think a lot of Pats fans were gracious enough to say after the game that they were really, really poor in this one, and probably without the red, they wouldn't have won. They got out of town lucky, and they have to go down there now again for an FAI Cup semi-final, and lots of Pats fans are nervous about that game after their performance here, because they weren't at it, and we've said that quite a bit about Pats over the last few weeks.
Yeah, they've kind of taking on a bit of a lethargic approach to games, and they're not singing as nicely as they would have done in the past.
Kind of gone back to the kind of Pats we talked about a lot under Tim Clancy, you know.
Yeah, but it hasn't impacted them. Like, they're still getting the results, still
taking it out, yeah.
And that's probably the difference that John Daly has made. You know, he's actually added a bit of hardiness into them where they would have folded in a lot of games previously. So, yes, they probably needed the red card, but at the end of the day, it's not plain sailing all the time for teams at the top half of the table. They're always going to struggle. There's going to be periods of struggle. So, you know, they still went ahead and did it. I think the decision was obviously the biggest talking point in the game. What can you say about it? Like, when you look closely at it, I think it was clipped a lot over the weekend, and you could see, you know, zooming in and all that, like, he did clearly get his boot to it. But from a referee's perspective, like, if you look back at it, like, he's probably, what, 20, 30 yards away from it. It's a very, very tight call from his perspective, and you can see why he made that decision. He clearly didn't think that.
I can't.
I don't know if it got to it.
I can't have much sympathy for the ref on this one.
He's got
it totally wrong. Not only is it not a foul, not only is it a yellow card, it should have been a free kick to Cork. The Cork man gets there first. He gets his foot to the ball. He's bundled over. He should have had the free kick.
Yeah.
And next thing, he's off. So, yeah, look. From a Cork point of view.
It is what it, like, I'm not saying it is what it is. But, like, the ref made the right decision because he thought that the Patsla got to the ball first. It's just simple as that. Like,
yeah,
it's not that the red card was wrong or, you know, second yellow or anything like that was wrong. He thought the Patsla got to the ball first. So that was a mistake there. These things happen, and yeah, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah. I suppose from a Cork City point of view, the positive here is that they put up a bit of a fight compared to Monday night against Dundalk. And obviously the big news out of Cork now is that Liam Buckley's gone back into his role as sporting director. Richie Holland is the man that's going to lead them until the end of the season. He's brought back a couple of experienced head onto his coaching team as well. But again, that's a decision you look at and you say, why wasn't this done months ago?
Yeah, absolutely. But like, I think there was probably, you're looking at, right, we're not going to get relegated. We're going to end up in the playoff no matter what way you slice it. So that's it.
Had they done this a few weeks ago, maybe they wouldn't be in the playoff. I mean, from a Liam Buckley point of view, it's going to be a difficult situation for him. He was brought in to be sporting director. Dermot Usher was on this podcast, and I asked him at the time, is there any chance that Liam might end up actually managing the team this season? No, I don't want him to be manager. And even he admitted that Liam had said to him, you know, why don't you want me to be manager? And he explained why. Next thing, he's installed as manager. The owner actually didn't want to ever install him as manager, but he is there now. He's interim manager or whatever. It doesn't work out. And next thing, he's moved to the side and gone back upstairs. I mean, that must be very difficult for him to go in every day and know the owner didn't want me to be manager in the first place. Then he installed me as manager. And then he didn't obviously have the faith in me to keep the team up via a playoff. So now I'm back upstairs. The whole thing is a mess.
It is a mess, but like the whole season has been a mess. It didn't work out from day one. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was never going to be right.
They had an okay start to the season.
Yeah, they had an okay start to the season, but I think we copped on a few weeks into the season. It was like, wait, hold on a minute now. This is a first division team.
Yeah, but what do you do in that situation? You get the structures right and you make yourself hard to beat. UCD managed to stay up last season by doing that. You know, they weren't chopping and changing the manager every 5 minutes. The decision's been made at Cork. I used the word rudderless about them on Monday in Orion. And no wonder they're rudderless, because there's no proper leadership been shown there.
I think it's definitely mistakes have been made. I think that's an understatement. But I think with the players that they have, it was always going to be an uphill task, and I think there was a bit of an overstatement.
But give them a chance. Give them a chance to, you know, definitely you're 100% right in what you're saying. It's going to be an uphill task with the squad that they had. Give them the very best possible chance, and by chomping and changing managers and having a lad there that you know isn't going to be there long term, that's not going to breed the type of thing you need within the dressing room to stay up in a relegation dogfight.
No. Oh, the relegation dogfight. The only time a dogfight exists is in a relegation battle in football. But it could have been the best thing he ever did. It didn't work out. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, but I just don't think it's not just not that handy to go, this new fella. Sure, what has Richie Holland done in League of Ireland football management? I'm asking.
I don't know that much about the lad, but he seems quite well respected within Cork circles. So,
yeah, absolutely. But like, I don't think he's won very many, you know, league titles.
Obviously, Liam Buckley has the better CV. But the decision process has been totally wrong the whole way from step one to whatever step we're on now.
Yeah, but like, there was plenty of times. Like, there was some good points and bad points throughout the season. There was that really bad run. After the first two games, I think it was like, it was after the, it was probably a bit after the Shamrock Rovers 4-all. And then they went on a few bad runs, and then they won a few games, and they beat Shamrock Rovers in that time.
Yeah,
remember the game with all the red cards?
I think they won a few games going into the break too, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. So it was fairly okay, and then they came out of the break, and that was it. It kind of went sideways then. But also, at that time, they beat, who was it? Did a good win against Sligo. They're into the semi-final of the Cup. That's all under Liam Buckley. It's actually not that bad.
Yeah, you forgot the parts where they tried to get Kevin Doherty on the last day of the transfer window.
Okay.
After him doing the job he's doing at Drogheda for the last several years, you know, he was there all year to be poached if they wanted him. I mean, the decision-making has just been absolutely...
Yeah, we know that, but I'm just saying, like, Liam Buckley probably hasn't worked as well as it could have, but it actually also wasn't that bad either. Like, if you look at the results, they're into the semi-final of the Cup as well.
He still didn't reach the objective, which was to avoid the playoffs against a very, very bad Sligo team.
But they beat them when they didn't.
And I think if you look at Liam Buckley over the last couple of seasons, you can go back to his league titles at Pats and everything.
Right.
There was issues there, I think, towards the end at Sligo, and particularly towards the end of, particularly towards the end of Sligo and at the end of Pats as well, where there was a feeling that within the dressing room, he was maybe too easy on players and the like of that. I don't think he's the type of manager that's cut out for the cliche of a relegation dogfight. So I don't think it was really the right appointment.
Yeah, I know it's easy to say that now, but I actually don't. I don't think so. He's a very experienced manager. I think it would have been
if you go back to
decision.
You go back to the we mentioned the post match interview Monday, how like lifeless it was. I wonder, did he know what was coming? Had they had a discussion before that Dundalk game? Did that maybe contribute to the absolutely lifeless display they put on?
Yeah, it probably did. But also, you asked the question there. Why not have? You asked Dermot Usher when he was on the podcast, why not have Liam Buckley as the manager?
No, I was just asking, would he? I didn't ask why not. I said, would he at any stage be the manager this season?
All right.
It was a categorical no, and then he ended up taking the team for several months.
Did we not have a talk about it? I'm sure we did. Why not have Liam Buckley, very experienced manager, brings in a team that, to take over a team that just got promoted?
We had a discussion. I can't remember if I probably wasn't as opposed as I am now, obviously, in hindsight. But I just think, as I said, it's more the process of how it's almost like they have a glass bowl in front of them in the boardroom and they're just picking out a piece of paper. Appoint Liam Buckley at random. Like, everything seems to have a randomness about it. So, look, we spent quite a bit of time on that, but Cork fans can give us their views. The next game, we'll make up for lost time. This won't take long, Gary. Derry City 6, UCD 0. What's there to say, really? As we said before on many times on the podcast, you beat UCD 6 or 7-0. You know, it's only UCD. You can't really win. If you beat them 2-0, it's not enough. So, look, Derry have just got the points on the board and they move on.
Yeah, exactly. To do what they needed to finally do, they beat the team that they needed to beat. Four games left. What do you think?
Nah, I still think Rovers have it.
Yeah. Do you think they'll still pip them? Only a point in that.
Pip Derry to second?
Yeah.
As we said, Pats aren't playing that well. If they get into the cup final, will they maybe focus on that a bit more and finish in second in the league? But then again, they're not exactly cemented in the top three either, so they're going to have to keep playing Pats no matter what. So I don't know. I haven't really looked that in depth at the running for either side. So, Dundalk 3, Drogheda 1. I'm not sure. Did you see the vlog? And forgive me, I forget the chap's name. A Scottish vlogger came across and covered this game.
Blair
and,
McNally.
Really, really good. He's done a couple of them now. As I said, the only thing I would say for people that are tuning into them, the game he did last week, Derry and Rovers up in the Brandywell, there was kind of a bit of a schmozzle at the end of that and police involved and all the rest. And at the end of this, there was a bit of scrapping as well. Me and you go to how many games a season all over the place and games not even involving Longford. We go to Premier Division games or whatever when we have a night off. You rarely see that type of stuff going on. So I hope people aren't, looking at that and thinking, geez, there's a real problem in Irish football. That isn't the case. But like, these vloggers have brought a lot of attention to the league. The PR that clubs are getting off this is almost invaluable. So I thought it was a really, really good production, but it was a great atmosphere there. As I said, a pity about the bit of rubbish at the end. The security there needs to be reviewed because that was allowed to happen far too easily. But look, let's focus on the football on the pitch. Drogheda go one up, Dundalk fight back. Drogheda missed a great chance to go 2-2. Warren Davis hit the crossbar from close range. I think from speaking to Drogheda people after this, they feel it's one that they got away, but how many times have we said that in loud derbies this season? Dundalk have won the whole lot of them.
Yeah, exactly. And even, with Dundalk's poor patches this season, they've been able to always turn it on for the loud derby. And I think, it was a good opening, half for Dundalk or Drogheda. They went ahead, but I think it was a really poor, well-executed finish for Dundalk. But
for Drogheda, first goal.
No, sorry, for the equaliser.
All right. Yeah.
Dundalk, from the corner, was cleared and only half cleared, and then no one really reacted. I was disappointed with the defending from Drogheda to not clear that out. And then, immediately into the second half, Dundalk got 2-1 up.
And of course, we've spoken so much about Dundalk this season falling behind at the start of second half. So that's been a real trait of them this year. But they actually managed to score a goal themselves at the start of the second half, which was nice for them.
The defending was very poor as well. It was more statues in the box and well finished at the near post. And do you think the keeper should have done better for this Dundalk's second two goals? I know it was a very quick, close finish.
Didn't catch my eye at the time that there was anything wrong. And I highlighted that keeper earlier in the week, Andrew Wogan, 17. And geez, you wouldn't think it watching him. He stepped in there and he's been absolutely fantastic. He looks like a lad with a really bright future. So I don't know. I watched back the goals again today.
I just thought the third goal as well. I do have to remember he is 17. So I'll probably give him an extra bit of rope.
I tell you, he's got some hammer on him. Jeez, he sends the ball some distance with a kick.
All right, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, no, his distribution's very, very good for a young goalkeeper. He looks like he has a real future ahead of him. We haven't probably seen the best of Daryl Horgan since he's returned, but one thing he has given Dundalk is real quality offset pieces.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, he'd want to be doing it. And fair play to him for it. He probably hasn't. What, did he get a goal there? What was it last week? Was that his first goal?
But he scored in the cup against Bray, and then he scored last week against whoever they were playing.
I knew it was his first league goal there last week. So look, it's great to have that. He probably would have liked to have scored earlier on since his return, but look, that's part of it.
They're only 4 points off third again. I still don't think there'll be anywhere near it, but just goes to show what a congested league table it is this season.
Yeah, don't see it. It'd be some achievement if they did manage it, but I don't think they're going to do enough to get ahead of Pats and Derry.
Right, we'll move on from that one. Sorry, what was that chap's name, Gaz?
The blog. Blair McNally.
Yeah, if anyone hasn't checked out that that video, I'd well recommend it. It's good viewing. Bose 3, Sligo 1. Again, probably not a huge amount to say on this, so only that Athol Abbey is absolutely effing lethal.
Yeah. Although all the goals were the exact same.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, that's why I said there's not much to say. This is exactly the sort of result that we would have expected against Sligo at home. So,
but is it not desperate from Sligo again?
They may be a bit more comfortable now, given that they've got that buffer over Cork, 9 points. They're not going to be caught now. So,
I'll tell you, Jesus, they've nothing to be proud of.
It's an important win for Bose though, because back above Shells now and into Ford.
Yeah, like I suppose we need to probably start thinking about the run-in, like UCD play Bowes next and then a Shelburne against Dundalk, so there could be a bit of a gap opening up there between Bowes and Shells. It could be back in Bowes' favour with three games left after next week, but look, we'll wait and see.
We will move on to the First Division, and we're going to go to our first guest of the night very shortly. That's Mark Ludden, but we'll start by talking about the game that Mark was involved in at the weekend. As I said, it was his 402nd league appearance as Treaty United beat Longford Town by 3-2 at Bishop's Gate. That seems to be the scoreline of choice between these two teams this season. There's been some right old good battles between them. But Treaty coming out on top just about keeps their season alive. Longford Town officially now done and dusted.
Hi, ball burst. Look, it was just, I don't know, there seems to be a malaise around the town at the minute. I don't know what it is. I thought they were better than they were in the last few games. Their passing was a bit tighter, but you know, the goals that Longford conceded were just really poor defensively, a couple of defensive errors that should have never have occurred. And then they even like get it back, so you know, they manage to equalize. Chaos in the box from Treaty, and Dylan Hand just buries it, and that's 1-1. You think there's something gonna happen here? What, 2 minutes later, it's a great header. Who was that? Who scored that header?
Great ball. Was the second goal not the? Oh no, that was the header. The second goal was Adam Lennon with the header.
Yeah, exactly.
And the third was Barry again with a double.
Yeah. And great header. Like, the only place he could have put it.
Yeah.
With the pace that was on the ball. But yeah, look, the defensive mistakes didn't really help the situation. And
I think Stephen Henderson summed it up well when I spoke to him after the game. He said, in terms of effort and that, couldn't question them, but quality, Longford were massively lacking, and that's what cost them, and the defensive mistakes cost them. But obviously, we broke the news on Saturday night after the game on the Between the Stripes Twitter feed and on the Members Club in our exclusive interview with Stephen Henderson after the game. He's confirmed that he's been given the green light to start building for next season, which is very positive, Gary, because obviously Longford Town had no real sort of prep going into this season, and it's cost them in the end. It contributed massively to the slow start and that lost ground. They really struggled to make it up all year, and that's why they're going to miss out on the playoffs. But hopefully now, with a bit of planning, Longford Town could have a much brighter 2024 and what will of course be their centenary year.
Absolutely. I think, like, when you look back on the season and, you know, that essentially it is, you know, over. Even with all the results, with all the players being injured and getting players in and stuff like that, there were so many missed opportunities throughout the season. You know, the games I should have never lost.
Yeah, but I suppose teams like Treaty will have their own stories of those as well. I think the table never lies. Although it's only lying slightly at the minute, I don't think Longford should be above Bray, so I'd hope that's something we can rectify before the end of the season. But I don't think, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think Longford Town can justifiably argue they deserve to be in the playoffs this season.
No, I'm not disputing that. Right, I'm just saying, like, while all of the hardship from Longford, and yes, we watch all the Longford games, we go to most of them, so obviously we're going to talk about it. The point is, though, that a couple of games, you know, three or four games this season, that Longford should have never lost. And I think Stephen said it to me earlier on this season, geez, we're not getting much, you know, balls aren't even bouncing towards Longford players. It's just very bad.
But I suppose that comes with being down the bottom of the table at that stage of the season. But yeah, I think when Town fans review this season, they look at the middle part of the season, the summer, as an inspiration for next season, as in terms of when they get a fully fit team out there and Stephen Henderson, the players he brought in. You think of Whitmarsh, you think of Dylan Hand, other players that came in the summer. They really had an impact on the team. So he looks like a manager who can go and identify a player and they can have an immediate impact. So as I said, with plenty of planning, hopefully it can be a much brighter season next year for Longford Town. But look, let's move on to speak to Mark Ludden. He's going to join us now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast after that. 3-2 win for Treaty at Bishopsgate on Saturday night. I'm delighted to say we are joined on this week's show by Mark Ludden, the Treaty United fullback, who recently brought up his 400th League of Ireland appearance. Mark, 402 against Longford the other night, an incredible haul. Congratulations. How do you reflect on the last number of years in the league?
Yeah, obviously, Kieran, you know, very, very proud moment. I suppose it's been a milestone because I've kind of known that I've been close to the 400 for a while. And yeah, so to kind of get to 402, you know, not many players will kind of break that 400 appearance in the League of Ireland. So a proud moment. Don't think I'll make the 500 just based off my age, but you never know. If Tommy Barrett keeps signing me, I might have a chance. But yeah, very proud moment. Very proud moment. Happy to have broken that milestone because it was one that I wanted to achieve for a while, yeah.
I was going to ask you that. What's the chances of 500? You're only mid-30s.
33. Nearly on 34 now.
Only a nipper.
Yeah.
You don't seem to be slowing down anyway. How does the body feel? Very, very impressed with your performance again the other night.
Body's actually feeling very well. You know, surprisingly enough, Kieran, I thought it'd be worse. Now, if you ask my wife that same question, when our 13-month-old child is waking up at 7 the next day after a game, you know, I put the blinkers on for a few hours, but she helps with that recovery big time with those early warnings. But yeah, you know, body's feeling well for me, and just enjoying football. You know, I've really enjoyed the last 3 years with Treaty. And, like, you know, I suppose looking back on when I started in 2009, I think it was against Finn Harps. Just been a roller coaster and a huge journey. I was only talking to Stephen Walsh recently. I was saying, you know, once they won the league, I was like, you know, congrats, you know, you finally got the medal that both himself and myself had been searching for. The only disappointing or black mark on my League of Ireland career is that I don't really have a medal to show for it, which is just shows for any kind of younger lads listening that, you know, these type of cup finals or when you get a chance to win the league, they don't come around that often. And I've been playing for a long, long time, so I know. So when they do come, definitely important to celebrate and to, I suppose, enjoy the moment.
Any chance of you trying to transform yourself into a 20-goal-a-season striker like Walshy has done?
No. Walshy always had that in the back pocket, in fairness to him. Always had a few goals in him. I had my moment in the summer. I scored 4 goals in one game. I think I'll be happy with that. But no, he has made a serious turnaround, and to get the goals and the assists that he has for Galway over the last few years has been remarkable. So, you know, in fairness, fair play to him. But he always had a goal in him. Always loved the shot as well. In five side, Kieran, like, you know, he'd be shooting from everywhere. No, definitely not. I don't think Tommy would let me anyhow.
We might talk more about Galway in a minute or two, but just on Treaty, obviously a 3-2 win against Longford the other night. Yeah, another 3-2 game. That seems to be the favourite score between the two teams this season. But a result that just about keeps your season alive, is that fair to say?
Yeah, just about. I think I saw a tweet that, you know, Treaty's playoff hopes are hanging on by the thinnest of threads, and I would definitely concur with that. Look, for us, even if we don't make the playoffs now, which, you know, it's going to be a really big ask. It's all about keeping professional and keeping, you know, winning games. You know, every time that we go out, Tommy and myself are all about let's get 3 points. Let's put in a performance. You know, again, a lot of people are playing for contracts next year again. So it's really, really important to keep that mindset and keep everything sharp at training and in game. So, yeah, a really good win last on Saturday night against Longford, against, you know, a good team. I thought we played some really, really good football. The last few weeks for you know, I'd say 6 or 7 weeks in particular, our performances have been excellent, and the football that we played has been really, really good. I look at the kind of Cove game where we lost 1-0 with a 95-minute header that they scored. Then we were winning 1-0 against Wexford and lost 2-1 because we got a man sent off. And then the Bray game where we were 2-0 up and we draw that game 2-2. Those three games are really starting to hurt.
Longford at home as well.
Yeah, well, Longford at home, but that was a few months back. But those three games were over the last kind of 4 or 5 weeks, and I think if we got 4 points, and we, you know, and I don't want to be biased, but I really thought we should have got 7 out of 9 anyhow. We'd be in a really good position and be obviously in the playoffs. But look, that's football. The table obviously doesn't lie. But I feel like if we don't make the playoffs, which is going to be tight, we definitely left it behind us, Kieran, this year.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously Treaty, this is their third season in the league, and the first two seasons you qualified for the playoffs. And I don't think your performance levels have actually been that far away from previous seasons. Would you agree with that? Is it just a case maybe that you've been caught out by some of the other teams in the first division? This team invested heavily compared to other years. And I suppose Treaty still aren't in that place where they're able to do that. And you've been quite, as I said, quite close to the marks you've hit in other seasons, but you might just come up short in the end, which is frustrating.
Yeah. Look, obviously other teams have bigger budgets, and I don't want to be talking about, oh, they have all this money and all these facilities, because, you know, it's 11 men versus 11 men at the end of the day, and I'm not a big person on excuses. But what I would say is that this year, for some reason or not, we have conceded the first goal. And, you know, in my experience in the first division, if you score the first goal more times out of not, you're not going to lose that game, and more than likely you win it. So it's just been this year, for whatever reason, there's been some softer, or we're conceding more goals. But sadly, or better for the fans, we're playing way better football. You know, the first year was very much, you know, sit back on the edge of the box and try and break us down, lads. And then, you know, we moved a bit further out the pitch last year. But this year there's been some really good phase of play. And, you know, I think you even saw it on Saturday night. There's some really nice phases of play and one touch, two touch football and some good goals scored. But we could have drawn that game 3-3 with Longford on Saturday night because we just probably didn't manage it that well. So, yeah, football's a funny game. Football's a funny game when you kind of look back on the last 3 years. I think performance-wise and everything that we've been doing and improving from a club perspective every year, it's just hasn't fully transpired to points on the board.
Yeah, obviously that defeat for Longford ends their season. And I spoke to Stephen Henderson after the game on Saturday, and he mentioned that he's pretty much been given the green light to start building for next year. I just wonder, from a treaty point of view, have you had any discussions about next year? Or do you know if that's going on behind the scenes?
I would imagine that it's definitely going on behind the scenes. For me personally, you know, I have to take account at the end of the year with work and family commitments. Can I make the commitment to treaty again? Or is it time to hang up the boots? So like that's something that I have to really think about, because it's a huge commitment, especially at my age. But yeah, I know that Tommy's already engaged with the lads and kind of putting feelers out. But he still, from what I understand, doesn't have his budget yet or know his budget yet. So that always puts you, you know, a step behind. But hopefully, you know, there's good things coming out of treaty, and, you know, that we can sign most of that squad that are there and add a few more players to it. Because I think there's the makings of a very, very good team and a kind of early 20s to mid 20s team. So if we can keep that group together, there's huge potential. But again, you're asking lads, you know, we have 5 or 6 lads from Galway, 5 or 6 lads from Dublin. Like, there's a lot of traveling involved. We're playing with treaty, so it's a big commitment from the players to do that week in, week out.
That early planning is crucial, though, isn't it? Even to bring it back to Longford Town perspective again, Longford left it so late this season to appoint a manager to get a squad, yeah. And they were left with a lot of young and inexperienced players, and the lost ground that they had at the start, yeah, of the year is what's cost them in the end. So if treaty can start planning now, regardless of what division they're going to be in, then it's going to be a big benefit this time next year.
Hugely. And like, you know, for Longford now, they'll be trying to lock down, you know, a good few members of those squads, especially the senior lads and the up and coming younger lads, and decide who needs to be there and who doesn't need to be there, and then build from that. But also, you know, there's so much movement in the first division across different, you know, players moving from different teams. So with the fact that Longford train in Dublin as well, I think they still train in Dublin.
Yeah,
if they are still training in Dublin, you know, that gives them the potential to kind of go after the Wexford lads, the Bray lads, you know, or players that are on the fringes of Premier Division teams in Dublin. So, yeah, like, I would imagine a lot of managers would want to get their business or have a good idea of who is being retained out of the current squad, definitely by the end of the season, definitely by the end of November anyways, so that they can see where are the gaps and who to add to that.
Galway's still a bit of a spin for Dublin, is it?
Is Galway a bit of a spin for Dublin?
To Dublin. Too far.
Oh.
for the Luddens and Currans of this world.
yeah, it's probably definitely a bit too far now for us. Maybe Enda now. I think Enda's doing his driving lesson, so he might.
Oh, very good. Very good. We'll send him a few fuel vouchers or something. But just on final word on treaty, I want to have a quick chat. I've only got 5 minutes left for you, but just a quick word on Galway before we go. But on treaty, do you feel the club is progressing, third season in the league now? We've spoken about it a few times, maybe the attendances, and I know Tommy's spoken to us about it as well. Maybe the attendance is not kicking on like we'd like to see, but do you feel the club has got a good, strong footing in the league now after a couple of years?
Depends on the day you ask me, Kieran, to be honest. look, I think people are definitely trying their best to put and push the club forward. You know, when I look at the attendances, and you have the Blue Army and they're great, and you have your season ticket holders, but like, for the size of the catchment area and the amount of players that are playing from, like, you know, the Midwest, you would hope that more would come in and support the club. I think we had more year one. Obviously, it was a new club and everyone was kind of raring to do stuff after COVID. But even like last year, we had, you know, a decent fan base, and we you know, had the set cup semi-final, and we had, you know, obviously the playoffs. It just felt like this year it's just been a little bit flatter. for whatever reason. And you know, obviously results make a big difference. That, you know, they see people the team in sixth or seventh, and maybe there hasn't been that much buzz compared to we were always in the playoffs kind of last year and the year before. But we definitely need to be getting 1,500 people, you know, at every game, and then pushing that on. But I know there's a lot of initiatives that have been talked about, you know, in the background. But, you know, maybe it's time to stop talking about some of these initiatives and kind of drive them forward. But that's just, you know, me seeing.
Look, as a Galway man, you'll know there's a lot of politics in football, and that's certainly the case in Limerick as well. I think there's been a lot of talk about maybe people maybe struggling to identify with the new club as well, but hopefully that'll change as they get more established in the league. And finally, Galway, what a season they've had! I'm sure you're watching on quite proudly. What chance do you give them in the cup semi final?
Again, going back to it's 11v11. I think, you know. Look, a lot of friends, a lot of people that I played with for a long, long time, win the league. So, you know, obviously delighted for the lads, very, very happy. Delighted for a lot of the fans that would have, you know, gone through what they've gone through over the last kind of 8 or 9 years, 10 years with the club. So to see Galway, you know, back in the Premier Division, you know, delighted, because that's where that club and the size of that club, you know, it deserves to be in that. For the cup, you know, their home record is unbelievable. Kieran, it's unbelievable, and you know it's going to be sold out. They're going to have, you know, hopefully 5 or 6 thousand people at that game, and you know, they completely dismantled Dundalk, especially in that first half. You know, I think Bowes will be very much prepared for what Galway are going to do. But Galway have a lot of very good players. So, and, you know, have been playing very, very well over the last few months. So they're full of confidence. Bowes will be full of confidence as well. It'd be great to see them in the Aviva. Be unbelievable to see them in the Aviva, and be great for the club. So hopefully they do it. And, you know, once you get the winner in the 95th minute, be a lovely way to, or actually Cullum Horgan, because Cullum Horgan doesn't score too many goals. So that'd be one that I'd like to see as well.
Yeah, look, I'm sure that they'd take it either way. Whoever it comes off, if it comes off the back of someone's arse and in, they'll take that, the Galway fans. But look, Mark, it's been great chatting with you today. Well done on the 400 plus. Hopefully you'll get to 500, but thanks for speaking to us today.
Appreciate it, Kieran. Thanks a million.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net, or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, great to hear from Mark Ludden on the pod. And of course, he's a proud Galway man, and his local team 6-0 winners against Athlone on Friday night. They're not taking their foot off the gas at all, despite the fact they're champions. This gives them great momentum now going into that cup tie against Bowes. From an Athlone point of view though, Gary, is this the start of a bit of a wobble? Is there a danger they can miss out on the playoffs?
Oh, of course there's a danger. Whether it happened or not is, you know, it's not signed, sealed and delivered yet. I think, you know, it depends on who they're running or who they have in the running.
Home to Bray this Friday, away to Harps, and then they play Longford in the last game. So, look, the last game, essentially, dead rubber.
That could be 9 points.
Well, you'd expect them to beat Bray at home. Harps away isn't handy, even though Harps' home form has been dreadful this season. So, Athlone should be coming away with something, really, if they want to be in the playoffs. And then, I was just going to say, the last game, it's a dead rubber, but it's a local derby, so it's going to be played as if it's a massive three-pointer. I suppose, from Athlone point of view, that result Saturday between Longford and Treaty was actually the ideal result for them. Well, a draw probably would have been better, but Athlone against Longford on the last day of the season could have potentially meant something, whereas Treaty don't meet Athlone in the last three games, so it's totally in Athlone's hands, whereas if Longford obviously had won on Saturday, they'd still be in the hunt. They'd be five behind, but they'd have Athlone to play, so a slip-up against Bray or Harps could have been absolutely lethal to Athlone Town.
That's right, and I think obviously a draw would have been better on Saturday for Athlone.
And for Wexford, of course.
Yeah.
Wexford would have been in there had that been a draw the other night.
Yeah, so like, look, I think it'll all be said and done next week after the coming round of games, you know, coming this week. I think Athlone will win, and that'll just put it out of the reach of out of treaty.
They'd still have
two games. Treaty are playing Harps.
I think Treaty are playing Harps this week, so I'd expect Treaty to win that. So
yeah,
they're gonna probably have to win, or at least win one and maybe draw one of their last. They're probably gonna need to win Treaty's last two after this is against Galway and Waterford. So
okay, so they're not gonna. I don't think they're not gonna get points out of that either.
You never know. I mean, they got a draw against Waterford early in the season after being two down. We'll see what shape Galway are in after the cup semi final. You just wouldn't know. But look, if Athlone win the two of their last three, then that's it done. So I think Athlone probably just enough breathing space, but there's still a little bit to go there. But yeah, it was they were hammered 4-1 by Treaty. I know they had a man sent off in that. They just about did enough to beat Kerry. They were beaten by Cove in the game before that, and then hammered by Galway. So, and it was just the manner of the goals they conceded. And I know they're not the most rock solid team defensively at Lone, but the last two games they've actually looked a little bit leggy to me. And I know they have been doing full time training in the second half of the season, and they just look a little bit leggy to me. So we'll keep a close eye on those results over the next few weeks, because there might be a bit of running still left there. Harps 2, Kerry 1. Obviously, first game without Dave Rogers, and they get a win, but they had to work hard for it. Kerry missed a penalty as well and missed quite a few good chances. I think I was reading some reports from Kerry fans that were at this, and they said, and even Harps fans admitted, I think the game was there for the taking for Kerry. So, it didn't really mean much in the grand scheme of things for Harps, but they avoid the embarrassment of a home defeat against Kerry.
There's been a good few additions of that this season, though, hasn't there, from Kerry? I think they were 2-0 up against Wexford at one point in Ferry Carrig, and they managed to lose that one quite quickly as well. I think in like 15 minutes, I think Wexford had all three goals scored, and that was all she wrote. It must be like Kerry scored immediately. I think it was like right after half time. Really bad start for Harps in the second half. And then, 3 or 4 minutes later, it was 1-1. So, and it was poor defending. Just on the Harps equaliser, it was a free header in the box from a free kick, 30 yards out, or 40 yards out. So, you have to be doing better than that. But, these things, it's unfortunate. But there's been too many of these this season for Kerry, where defensive errors and poor defending from set pieces has cost them. Like we've said it 100 times that Billy Dennehy must be tearing his hair out looking at goals flying by him from set pieces. So
must be. I know there's not many games left in this season, so probably won't happen this season, but I really hope this is the last season we see teams using picks a lot, because vast majority of goals in this game were missed by the camera.
Yeah, that was really poor, but I don't think it was in 20 during COVID. I think Harps had 40 or 50 people on their media team. Surely to God, they could get streaming going up there now.
I think they are working. To be fair to them, I think they are working towards it. This is what we've said before. There should be a bit more support for clubs that are trying to move away from it, because we're Longford Town. We're very lucky to have you that has the expertise or how to stick stuff together and make it work that way. But other clubs mightn't be as fortunate. So, and even this week and many times this season, you've had to produce the stream, click all the graphics, make the yellow cards and stuff appear on screen while doing commentary. And we've had to draft in Anthony from Quinn AV to do cameraman the odd time as well to help us out. So we're very much running off a skeleton crew, and I'm sure it's the same for a lot of the clubs. So I think there needs to be that bit more support there to try and, help clubs transition towards a better broadcast than what Pixlr offers. So anyway, Waterford 0, Wexford 0. Not the most spiciest of derbies in the end. Bit of a bore, this one.
Yeah, but look, I don't think Wexford will care. They got a point on the board. Puts them a bit closer to...
Keeper had to make a couple of good saves.
Yeah, does that not confirm?
No, they needed Longford and Treaty to draw on Saturday for them to...
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yeah, you said that a few times during the stream, Ari. Excuse me. So, another point, I think, isn't it? Is that all they need? I think so.
Let me have a quick look at the table here.
Yeah, another point.
Right.
And well, actually, no. If Tricky win and Wexford lose, so yeah, Wexford are playing Kerry in Kerry. So I think that that's all she wrote. They'll get 3 points and Treaty run out of road for getting Wexford's place. So
yeah, and they're on a great unbeaten run. I suppose I said there, like, you know, a bit of a board draw, but it keeps that unbeaten run going as well, which is very important. So yeah, positive night at the office for Wexford. Waterford so up and down recently in the second half of the season, and we'll have to see if they can turn it on in the playoffs. But I wouldn't be that confident about them. But then again, if they're going to be going up against Cork, who knows? Bray 2, Cove 1. I think we both went for convincing Cove wins here, but they had a rare bad night at the office. They haven't had too many of them this season.
No, probably not. Like, they were on a great little run there. They dished out a few hammerings, and they obviously, was a couple of weeks ago, they had a good result in Waterford as well.
Yeah.
So they're on a great little run. But yeah, disappointing result again, away to Bray. Probably a bit of a fly in the ointment, but obviously, look, they're in the playoffs now. They're sticking where they are. It makes absolutely no difference for like position or, you know, home draw, away draw, or anything like that. So they're just waiting to see is if they're going to be Wexford or Athlone they're traveling to.
Do you think it which would be the easier game or similar kind of?
I think at the moment, probably Athlone would be
now in current form. Yeah, they've lost
more
three
manageable.
Of the last six, yeah.
Because of their defensive problems. But then again, they're probably more danger up front with Campion Hines and Perot. But they've conceded as many, even more goals than they've scored. So, yes, it's a strange one. Both teams have different problems to Cove. So, look, I don't think they'll care that much. They just want to be in it at this moment in time. And they've done that. So, that's all.
Yeah, Perot missed, he went off against Treaty, he missed the game against Galway at the weekend. We don't know how serious that is, but if he's not around for the playoffs, then definitely Athlone would be the team you want to face. Let's move on and preview the games this weekend. Actually, just a final word on that Bray Cove game. I suppose this is the start of the season where we're looking towards next season for teams like Longford and Bray and Harps, whose seasons are over. Bray haven't had much to shout about. Well, that was their ninth win of the season on Friday night. And I went online and it was still all doom and gloom from supporters. All people were talking about online, and this is Bray fans, was the very low attendance, the dreadful atmosphere, and how it just felt so flat around the place, even though they won. I think a lot of people, I've read comments from some people saying full-time whistle went and, you know, everyone just left. There was no, like, staying around clapping or, you know, there was nothing. So they've got big issues to sort out over the off-season. But, you know, they had all that last season to do that too, and it hasn't materialised. So it's worrying times to be a Bray fan.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem there. Stuff hasn't changed as quickly as it should have.
They seem to have the blinkers on.
I think so, and to say the least. And it's going to be hard to get that out of there, because when you don't have games to like center, you know, to focus on, it just probably dwindles or, you know, dries away a bit even more. So, they have a big job on. They need to get it right, and they need to get it right soon.
Yeah, that's a fair point, because I suppose teams that are in the playoff now, they're in the mind of people. Like, obviously, if you're a season ticket holder or a big fan and go to every home game, doesn't matter, you're going to go. But people that are kind of just dip in and out, if your local team is in the playoffs, you'll go, and you're in the consciousness a bit more going into Christmas. Maybe you'd be a bit more inclined to buy something in the shop over Christmas, or even buy a season ticket. Whereas your season's over now, you're not going to go to the last three or four games because they mean nothing. It's only October. It's a long time till Christmas. And next year comes around, there's not much excitement, and you're just like, oh, I'm not going to bother this year either.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
And I think that's the danger. It's very hard to, you know, pull that out of the fire. So they need to get it right, and they need to get it right soon. But I think I've said that a few times, and I'm tired.
That's why, obviously, Longford are in the same boat. Their season's over. Speaking to Stephen Henderson the other night, you know, he was saying they've already spoken to a few players from outside of the club, spoken to a few players at the club about next year. So if Longford can get their business done, you're getting news rolling out there over the off-season. That generates a bit of excitement as well. So, look, Bray need to really knuckle down over the off-season and try and get their act together. First division games, we'll start with Bray. They're away to Athlone. At loan, this is a big game for them in terms of trying to cement their place in the playoffs. I think they win here despite their recent poor performances. And I should just mention as well, anyone that missed last week's show, I have, as people know by now, I've lost my way with the predictions league over the last while. So last week I announced a sprint to the finish, next goal wins type of thing. So we're starting from fresh. It was neck for neck going into that game Saturday, but I went for a treaty win. You stuck with Longford. So I'm 1 point clear of you now going into this week's game. So 7 points to 6 in the playoffs. So this is squeaky bum time.
Squeaky bum time, absolutely. I wasn't consulted in this change of format, by the way.
You were last week. You said, yeah, you were delighted because you were about 20 points behind me. I have no doubt. And I ripped up the sheets, whatever. I was definitely a long way clear, but I'm going to let you go. Have your chance here. You can have no excuses now at the end of the season if you don't win the predictions league. So go on, give me your Athlone Bray prediction.
2-0 Athlone.
2-0 Athlone. I will go 2-1 to Athlone in this one. Let's move on to Treaty against Finn Harps. Be quite confident with a Treaty win. They played some lovely football Saturday, didn't they?
They did, yeah. And they were well-deserving. You know, we said on commentary, I thought they were fully deserving. Definitely to be behind. Like, it was 0-0 at half-time, and I thought Longford were doing okay to not be behind. I think they were defending okay up to that point, and they would have been obviously disappointed to go behind, but I think the Longford would have been the happier of the two teams at half time, considering that Treaty were playing the nicer football, passing it around a lot crisper. So you know, it was a good performance from Treaty. Probably a bit ropey
towards the end,
and the defending could have been a bit better, particularly like for, I think Longford Town probably should have had a penalty before Dylan Hand smacked it in. I thought it was definitely handball in that block. Corey Chambers, awful for the free kick. Don't care what anybody says.
Awful for the goal from the corner as well. Came out and got lost under us. He had a really bad game.
Yeah, I thought so. But he did pull it out of the fire with
Jordan Adeyemo's header at the end. Yeah, probably still be a bit.
It's a savable shot. He should be doing it. So I think that might be an area of that.
Like, I mean, they've gotten through some amount of goalkeepers this season, and Chambers definitely won't be a long-term solution there. He's made a number of errors, and he's only been at the club since, you know, the second half of the season. So, anyway, I think even with all of that, they have more than enough quality in the final third. I think success was brilliant in how he led the line on his own the other night. Great support from Dean George, who I thought was very effective. Adam Lennon, I'm a really big fan of him. And then you've like Mark Ludden bombing on from fullback. I thought the other fullback, Reardon, had a quite good game as well. So I think they've got more than enough threat across the pitch here to do a bit of damage to Finn Harps. So I'm going to go 3-1 to Treaty.
I'll go 2-0 to Treaty as well. I think they had some good defensive performances as well. So I'd be happy with 2-0 to Treaty.
Cove against Longford.
Unfortunately, I won't be at this one.
I'm doing a Saudi Pro League game on Friday. I've been taken by the Saudi, the money, the big money.
Let me see. I don't think there's much potential for it, actually, for Longford to get something or to get a win out of this. I think there's a bit of, because it's said and done now in the season, there's probably going to the lethargic nature of Longford Town's last few performances are going to be crystallizing even more again. So I'm going to go 1-1.
I thought you were going to go for a Cove win. It would have been the first time ever on this podcast.
It'll never happen.
I was kind of going towards a 0-0, but I think you've swayed me there. Longford have been very lethargic in every game since Kerry, really. So, and the Kerry game itself. So I think Cove will probably score from a set piece or something like that. Going to go 1-0 to Cove. Where are we next? Kerry against Wexford. Big game for Wexford here.
Yeah, I think they'll have been, you know, frightened enough from that game down in Ferry Carrig, where they went 2-0 down, and they were okay, but I don't think like Kerry were that enough of a defensive force to stop them either. So I just think it took a while for Wexford to click and get the goals they needed to pull it out of the fire, and they did it in the end. I'm going to go 3-1 Kerry, or 3-1 Wexford, excuse me.
I'm going to go 2-1 to Wexford there. And finally, in the first division, the what could have been derby, Galway against Waterford. We all thought this would be the title decider when we looked at the fixtures earlier in the season. Yeah. Couldn't have been farther from the truth.
Yeah, I know, we were miles off that, but look, I don't think anybody expected Galway.
Oh, sorry, this won't be till next weekend, this one, will it? Sure, Galway's in the cup this weekend.
Oh, but Journey, that's right. We have to talk about the cup.
Yeah, we will be talking about the cup.
The old cup on sure have
the, yeah, sorry, that's Tuesday, the 10th of October. So we'll go for it. Go on, it's early next week, so it'll probably be out before our next. It'll probably be played before our next pod. So,
we're recording on Wednesday next week. So, when's that game?
Are we recording Wednesday next week?
We are.
Why is that?
Because I won't be in the country until Wednesday.
Oh, Jesus. It's going to be a late one. So we'll leave it. So, okay. Right. Let's move on to the cup. Shells against Dundalk and Drogs against Derry. Where are you going next week?
I'm going on my Holliers at Thursday.
What's on?
You know this? What?
Is that the Ireland trip?
No.
No, where are you going? Are you going to some football trip?
Yeah, I'm going to Germany.
All right. Very good. So you're going to Germany and then
I'm going to Kaiserslautern on Friday, Stuttgart on Saturday, and Munich on Sunday.
Lovely. I expect live Twitter updates and the whole lot on the BTS Twitter.
Absolutely. Well, no, I'll do the little video updates that you do for all the games and loud.
Yeah, between the stripes, bringing you coverage from all across the country. I haven't left Louth once this season.
Exactly.
Right, where were we? Yeah, cup semi-finals. We've got Shells against. Sorry, a couple of Premier Division games first. I'm all over the shop this week. Shells against Dundalk in the Premier Division first.
I think Shells are going to do it. I think the hardiness of Shells are going to be an issue for. Dundalk, I don't think they're up for it to the same degree. Particularly after, like, we'll say that I know it's a while ago, but like, I think it shows the softness that Galway result. It shows how that they have a, if you get at them, get into them, they're not in for it. So
Shells will surely do that to you.
Yeah, exactly. Even that big. Did you watch the game on Friday live?
Yeah, well, I was at work, but I had it on. Was watching it in the studio. Yeah.
Perfect. So, like, did you see that challenge from Mark Hoyle? We absolutely. There was a ball that just, like, kind of sat up in front of him, and he went through a lad to get it totally fairly.
Right.
A typical Mark Hoyle challenge, you might say. And
remember when people used to say he could play as a 10?
Who said that?
Never mind. But he's good at what he does. But yeah, no, good point you make. I probably agree with most of that. That's why I'm going to go for Shells win 1-0.
Yeah, 1-0 to Shells.
Very good. Drogs against Derry. I'm going to be commentating on this on Friday evening. Busy man.
Absolutely.
Tune in, LOI TV.
Very good. Fair play to you.
First appearance away from Longford Town. Oh, actually, no. It was Co-Com on a Harps game before.
You were.
Yeah.
That was a Town game.
Ah, it was. Yeah.
So this is
first non-affiliated Longford Town game. That's in Louth, of course.
How will you watch the Town game?
I won't. I find it very hard to watch Longford when I'm not there. Even if it's a good quality stream, I find it really difficult to... I think the only one I've watched this season that I wasn't at was Kerry away, since they've installed the recent Kerry game.
Okay.
But I just find it really difficult to watch this when I'm not there.
Oh, you're not centre of attention on commentary, I think, is your problem. Anyway, fair play to you.
The nightmare game for Derry, really, isn't it? You know, they need to win here to stay in the title race, and it's feckin' Drogheda. Gritty owl Drogheda.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do it.
Derry?
Yeah. Particularly when it's in Weavers Park.
I'm just going to check, though. I think they always nearly find a way in Weavers Park. I think I've been at a few of these games in the last few seasons, and
okay,
I seem to remember Derry always just finding a way to... get by them. I think it's been up in the Brandywell where they've had the bigger issues.
Okay, one second there. I'll just see their head-to-head.
That's what I'm looking for here myself. Let's have a look here. Derry won 3-0
in no.
the renewal. Let's just get the away form here. 1-0. They beat them 1-0 early in the season, but then all the other ones before that, a couple of games before that, were draws last year. So yeah, it's tough. Yeah, tough enough for them all the same.
Do you know what? I'm going to say they'll do it 2-1 in a poor game.
No, don't say that. I want lots of goals here. I think spoke about it recently on the pod with Dale Rooney last week. You know, Drogheda were poor by their usual standards in that cup game against Drogheda. Went on the training ground for a week. They played Bowes the next week in the league and they managed to rectify the issues and get a draw. I know they're not playing Derry twice in a row, but they played Dundalk the other night and as you said, the goals they concede, they'll be disappointed with that, disappointed with some of the other elements like their finishing in the final third and stuff like that. I think they'll work really hard on the training ground this week and I think they'll get something out of this. Probably going to be 0-0.
0-0.
Yeah. Which is not what I want when I'm commentating on it, but that's what I think is going to happen.
Well, I'm doing you a favour. I'm saying 2-1.
Cup semi-finals, Cork against Pats.
In Turner's Cross. Okay, and obviously with it being a semi-final injury time and or extra time and penalties, isn't it? I'm going to go... I think Pats will get it done. I'm going to go 1-0 Pats in normal time.
Okay. Yeah, they've got the recent pedigree in the cup, haven't they, as you like to say? Yeah. And they've done it all season. Well, not all season, but in the last couple of months, definitely, they've been just grinding out the results. And that's what I think they'll do here as well. Will they do it in normal time? I have a sneaky feeling they're going to do it on penalties. So I'm going to go 0-0 after the 90, 0-0 after extra time, and Pats to win on penalties.
Fair play. Fair enough. Okay. Yeah, no, I can see it happening, particularly with the new guys at Cork. Probably will they'll have to concentrate on obviously the back line and how they're defending or haven't been defending in a lot of games. So they'll have to do something. But I think Pat's quality, particularly with so much on the line, getting into the final again would be just monumental for Pat's. And obviously John Daly in his first season. So I think Pat's will get it over the line. No bother.
I seen a poll today and I can't remember who had it up, but I often do this. You see polls on Twitter and you're like, I'm just going to click on one of the options to see what way people are voting. It was, would you rather Cork win the FAI Cup and get relegated or losing the Cup and stay up? And it was 60-30 in favour of staying in the Premier Division.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have a Cup is a nice win, but like, you don't want to be rocking around in the Discover Ireland First Division for the next 12 months.
Yeah, it's Cork down to the ground. It's the Munster First Division these days, so they wouldn't have too far to go.
Yeah, true, but
maybe clubs like Treaty then could actually focus on a local rival and club that's in the Midlands. But anyway,
yeah.
Right, that was Cork against Pats. Galway against Bowes. This is going to be interesting because I think a lot of people, even Bowes fans themselves, highlighted Bowes can be a little bit susceptible under high balls into the area, and that is exactly what they're going to face here. But there's no way Bowes will rock up to Eamon DC Park underprepared or totally unprepared the way Dundalk were. So I think this is going to be quite tight, but I think the quality of Bowes in the final third, i.e. Afolabi, I think will carry them over the line here. This might be one of the very few disappointments that Galway have this season. Because watching the highlights today of the Athlone game, and I was just looking at them, you know, thumping Athlone 6-0 into the... They've thumped everyone this season, thumped Dundalk. Any young fan that's having like their first experience of League of Ireland football must think that this Galway team are the Barcelona or the Real Madrid of Irish football. Might be a bit different for them next season, the Premier, but I just think this is going to be one of their first big disappointments, a defeat in the semi-final. I'm going to go 3-1 to Bowes.
In normal time?
Yeah, Afolabi on the double.
No. I just actually mimicked that. Like, I started supporting the town in about in early in 2000.
Yeah.
The following year is an FAI Cup final. In 2003 and 04, we were in all the cup finals.
And won them all.
No, we didn't.
Lost the League Cup
in 03. Yeah.
Won the next three cup finals.
Yeah. Barry Ferguson missed a penalty and Richmond Park to equalise in the last 2 minutes of the game. Very, very damaging. But anyway, I think Galway are going to pose a bit more of a threat than 3-1 to Bowes. I think they'll obviously have a handful with Afolabi, but I think the back four of Bowes can be got at. And I'm still not, never really was a fan of Talbot, still not.
He's going to be tested by high balls. So
he's going to be tested by high balls. And how much flapping has he done this year? Yeah. It's actually insane. He's cost him a number of goals with all the rubbish that he's done a few times this year. Dundalk, I think, was one particularly bad one during the summer. So, I think...
They're going to have to do a Longford Town on Shelburne in the playoff final job. They're going to have to limit the amount of set pieces and free kicks and throw-ins they give away in the final third to this Galway team. But I think Declan Devine will have them set up perfectly. So 3-1 Bowes for me. What's your score here?
I'm going to go 1-1 in 90. In the 90. And do you know what? So, Galway to get
really?
Through. Yeah. Why not?
On what? Extra time? Pens?
Penalties.
Pens. Okay. It'd be amazing, if the season where we've spoken so much about the standard of the First Division been particularly poor, it'd be amazing if there's a First Division team in the final. Yeah. Before we go, as ever, a couple of listener questions. And I know there's a lot of questions regarding the FAI Cup and particularly the venue arrangements and all the rest, but... First question on the list here comes from the user What I'm Playing. So not sure who you are, pal, but thanks for tweeting us. He said, here's a whole segment for you. Out of the current Longford Town squad, who do you keep? Who do you move on? And who are a couple of names you try to bring in? I replied to him. I said, obviously with our position in the club, we can't really come on here and say, I wouldn't keep this lad and all the rest. He replied saying, fair enough. But what areas of the squad would you look to improve? I think in the last couple of games, it seems to be lacking something in the engine room in the centre of the midfield now. And I know Victor Sardiniuk has been suspended, so that's obviously a big loss in the middle.
Just on that, I'd love if Victor stayed. I know we're not naming names, but I'm just going to name Victor. Okay. I think he's been very, very good for the town this year.
Yeah, you can see what they're missing in recent games. So
yeah, absolutely.
But I do think that's a area of the pitch that maybe needs to be beefed up. Gary Armstrong has been very good. I think Longford Town really missed him when he didn't start the game the other night. So I think there's been some signings in that position that haven't really worked. So I think centre of the park needs to be beefed up. Obviously, if you can keep Christian and keep Whitmarsh up there, then you're on to a winner. I think the fullbacks have been very good this season. Centre defence, Longford have had to do a lot of chopping and changing there. But if you could keep Aaron Walsh fit and get him signed up for next year, I think you'd be keeping the vast majority of this year's squad, really.
100%, I think probably one thing that was missed was a bit of experience. And even as you mentioned, the last two games, Shane Elwardy.
Yeah.
Big loss. Just on the pitch. Apart from he's a very good defender, but just having him there, was a miss.
We'll move on from this before we land ourselves in trouble. Dwayne Doyle, with players like Brandon Kavanagh, Brian Maher, Ryan Graydon, Connor Kern, Shap Moylan making the step up from the First Division to the Premier Division, is there any hidden gems in the First Division this season who can step up?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you can't really describe Perot as a hidden gem, can you?
But that's only
younger players, really. Younger, unexposed players. No one just jumping out at me at the moment, I have to say.
I think Louis Temple has been very good.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, he's been sensational. Two mistakes the weekend. First two mistakes he's made since he put on a Longford Town shirt. He's been recognised recently. Under-19 call-up for Ireland as well. So, yeah, he's a player to...
In his first game for the town, I nearly had a heart attack.
Yeah.
In Waterford.
I think we've mentioned it, though. He does give you that, doesn't he? Like, he's very, very confident on the ball. But
Is he
on loan or is he...
Loan, yeah.
Yeah, so I suppose, again, he's a player that's been exposed to the Premier Division in terms of being around a Premier setup. So,
I don't think there's... Like, it's obviously hard for us to even describe hidden gems.
Nothing coming to mind at the minute. But it's
also hard for us to like describe someone as a hidden gem because we're blue in the face looking at all these players all the time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So like, I don't really know.
Yeah, we might have a deeper think about that and maybe come back to it at another point. Paddy Wall says, "Do either of us see Andy Myler getting another shot as a manager in the Premier Division this season? This season a shambles, but last season performed a miracle, keeping UCD up. I think he'd definitely be well worthy of another shot. I wouldn't call it another shot. I think he's done more than enough at UCD to be qualified for a number of jobs. But I think he did mention that kind of work commitments is one of the reasons he stepped away from UCD next season. So I'm not sure what his ambitions are in terms of whether he wants to go straight back into management or all the rest. I think that'll be the biggest deciding factor there. But we said it last week. I think he's done a very, very good job at UCD and he'd be a worthy candidate for a number of jobs in probably both divisions.
That's what I'm saying. It's not that, oh, he's untouchable now. We give him another go. Like, his phone would be blowing up. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Pat Mitchell, who has been a poor signing in the League of Ireland summer window, Danny Grant or Bastian Heary? Hashtag rustling. I think Pat is a Treaty fan too, isn't he?
I'm not sure. I can't honestly remember. I think...
never mind.
I think Bastian is more probably a wider question than...
Well, I wouldn't imagine he costs as much as Danny Grant did.
No, he didn't. And how much Danny Grant is going to cost. I think the thing with... just on Bastian, obviously there has been, you know, a lot of attention around it because of like who he played for in the last few years. And then signing for Longford Town, who weren't in a great space at the time, and then to get sent off in his first game. So
sent off twice in his first six games, but
first seven.
I think he's shown seven after the other night. I think two in his first six, excluding the other night. I think he's shown glimpses of his quality, but like, you know, glimpses.
No, but also I think, and obviously, this is Longford hat on as usual. He hasn't played for so long.
Yeah.
So, like, you know what, you know, it's not Messi we're talking about here. He's not going to come in and just boss it as if he never, you know, he's still a player that hasn't played, and just his last few moves haven't been that successful.
Yeah, I think he's got three or four games now to prove his work between now and the end of the season. So look, I think Pat anyway is only on the wind up here. A good question, Pat, though. So we won't spend too long on it.
Hold on a minute. We haven't talked about Danny Grant. What has he done since he came back?
He's been disappointing. But again, it's like Daryl Horgan. We've spoken about this, man, players that come back into the league. Even look at Richie Towell. Like these players are older than when they left. We have unfair expectations on these players when they come back. We're expecting the exact same player. We're probably even expecting a better player because they've been across the water.
Yeah.
And it will take time for Danny Grant and for Daryl Horgan to get up to speed. They'll be better judged on what they do next season. David Relihan submitted on behalf of my boys, Dara and Liam, who I believe are among our youngest listeners. So thanks for tuning in, all the Relihans. He said, who can beat Cork in the playoffs and any news on the Mayo team? I haven't got any news on the Mayo team. I might do some chasing up there over the course of the off season. I haven't been in touch with
the giving up on the guy Mayo, have they?
and the other one, who can beat Cork in the playoffs? Well, anyone can beat them. I just don't know who's going to be playing them in the playoffs. That is the question.
Any team, you know, we said before, earlier on the season, that no one in the first division could beat them. I'm struggling to see.
Again, it'll be interesting.
They're very even.
It'll be interesting to see the changes Richie Holland might implement in the coming weeks. Will we get a different Cork between now and the end of the season? If the Cork that played in Oriel last Monday turns up in the playoffs, anyone can beat them.
Yeah.
But if they have the bit of grit about them that they had on Friday against Pats, then we'll see if the First Division team can actually go and impose their game on them. But yeah, we'll, before the end of the season, we'll be a bit more concrete with our prediction on the playoffs. But at the moment, I think you're right. It's very even going into that playoff, whoever it is. Final one, I mentioned there was a lot of questions about quarter semi-final venues. John Watson, love to hear your opinions on the shit show with tickets for the Galway v Bowes semi-final. Surely it's time to go back to neutral venues, in this case Talla, to accommodate maximum crowds. I have no idea how Galway v Bowes in Talla would be classed as a neutral venue, but I've said it before, I'll say it again, I do not agree with neutral venues for semi-finals. I think it adds massively that we're going to have packed out venues for these semi-final matches. I think it really adds to the occasion that, you know, one of the teams gets home advantage. It's a bit, I think what this boils down to, like most things in this league, is the facilities again. A lot of these grounds, I think Turner's Cross and Galway have slightly reduced capacities for these games for whatever reasons. You know, we're still miles away from the facilities we'd like to have for these sort of matches. People are saying bring it to the Aviva and all that. You don't want to be taken away from the magical day of this, the cup final. And I just don't think neutral venues, yes, okay, we're lucky maybe this time we've got Cork and Pats, Galway and Bowes, four very well supported teams. Who's to say next year, you know, one of the lesser First Division clubs doesn't sneak into a semi-final, or you know, neutral venues, yes, maybe this year might work. It mightn't be always the silver bullet every single season.
So where's the, who's asking this question?
John Watson.
Where's he from?
I don't know.
Who does he support?
I don't know.
Who do you think he supports?
I don't know. Bowes. Obviously, if he's looking for...
Exactly.
Would any Bowes want to play a semi-final in Talla? I'm not sure, but... that's...
But unfortunately, it's like, we're not there yet. And you know,
Longford would probably be the most logical. If it was going to be a neutral between Galway and Bowes, then Longford would be the logical solution there, I think.
Of course, it would. Seats 5,000, just over 5,000. So that's that result. I think, though, you know, sorry, that's just part of it. That's what you're signing up to. Oh, we've a lot of fans all of a sudden, and you know, we all want to go to the game and blah blah blah. Sorry, it just doesn't work like that. I wouldn't advocate for neutral venues ever.
I think, as I said, I think it just goes back to, again, we've got so much work still to do on facilities. I mean, the games, these have been played in Turner's Cross and Eamon DC Park, which I think most people would regard as top grounds in the country. But there's still going to be so many people that can't get tickets for it. And even you think about like some of our grounds that, imagine going away. Imagine when you go to Germany now next week, you tell lads, oh yeah, well, one of our best grounds, you know, what's the food facilities? Well, it's a chip van. Or, you know, we're happy when the toilets are inside and they're not Portaloos. Like, that's still the level we're at here.
That's
you know, imagine going to Germany and telling people that, oh, once there's a few six urinals inside, we're happy, you know, and once there's a chip van, you know, so look.
Yeah, I think even like just when you mentioned that, I'm going to Kaiserslautern next Friday, or sorry, Friday in 3 days' time. I can't use Kaiserslautern because it got a bit of money to be redeveloped for the 2006 World Cup, so that's not actually fair. But they were a big team in like the 90s, and now they've, you know, taken a real fall. But their stadium is absolutely massive. I didn't actually even want to bring this up, right? But we don't have the people that go to games. We have, all we're looking for is an 8,000 seat stadium everywhere. We're never going to get, even with Galway, you know, how many people live in Galway? 150,000 people, 200,000, whatever it is. You're never going to need, well, hopefully, huh? Yeah. I don't want to say that, but like at the end of the day, there's probably never going to be a requirement for that for a football stadium in Galway to be.
Yeah, you don't want to lose in the atmosphere. You don't want a big, shiny, empty stadium. Like, look at Linfield, they're playing in Windsor Park and 1,000 people there at best.
But
I think the atmosphere is such a huge selling point of the League of Ireland. Again, going back to that vlog earlier, the Louth Derby, yes, the facilities are absolutely awful, but the atmosphere, anyone looking at that would be like, Jesus, that's incredible.
Yeah, No, awful is an understatement. But I think we have to try and figure out what we're actually looking for. Mm. A big problem will always be, or with all my crying about, there's too many lads too happy to sit at home and like look at Sky Sports News. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's it. That's the big problem, and we're probably further behind in our journey of improving grounds, because just a lot of people just rather spend their money in a football in the far in the UK or further afield. I'm saying that when I'm going to three games in Germany.
That's okay. But you put the shift in during the year. Final word on this week's pod. Obviously, the big talk and point in the TV world of the Premier League has been that VAR decision. I think that just goes to show. I mean, back in the day before VAR was a thing, yes, there would be a bad decision made on offside or whatever. It'd be talked about for that day, for that weekend, but then it would be forgotten about and moved on. Whereas this is something now that's going to dominate the headlines for weeks. So I am just delighted that VAR is not a thing in the League of Ireland, and I genuinely hope it never will be. But look, that is where we'll leave this week's show. Huge thanks to Gary for joining me once again. Thanks to our sponsor, Quinn AB. Thanks to Martin Ludden for joining us. And as ever, thanks to all of our listeners that tuned in this week and continue to get in touch with us on social media as well. So Gary, enjoy your trip to Germany.
Lovely stuff. Thanks very much. I'll see you next. I'll talk to you next week.
That'll do. Everyone, thanks for listening. Good night.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.